Hello, and welcome to episode 143 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa. I'm joined by Matthew Figuera.
By me, again. You know, do you ever look at me and go, I wish I had a different co-host?
All the time. I mean, from episode two, it was like that.
Can I just, wow, at least I survived the first episode.
Well, you know, episode one, it was still fresh and new.
It was a trial run.
And then from there, afterwards, every time you arrived at my house, it was like, oh man.
Which episode one are we talking about? Is it episode one or episode zero?
Oh no, episode zero doesn't exist. Fuck that episode. Episode can go die in a fire.
On the thing of going to your house, okay, so for those of you who don't know, obviously Corona happened. If you've been living under a rock, we've had a whole happened. Corona outbreak. And when we went into the first lockdown, you know, Alessandro and I figured out how to record remotely. But prior to that, I used to drive to his place every Saturday or Sunday to record. I'm having a conversation with my mom this week. And then she's like, what are you doing this week? And are you going to Alessandro again? I'm like, this must be like the fourth time I've told him. I'm like, no, we've stopped doing that. like I haven't seen this guy for like, I mean, I've bumped into you. You've popped in like to drop stuff off or collect, but I actually haven't visited you or actively hung out with you in person since like last year. Mm-hmm. So, but I was just so flabbergasted. I'm like, I've told her like at least four times that I don't drive to Benoni anymore.
It used to be such a routine for you. You'd come over, you'd record.
I know.
And then you'd go home and like 30 minutes after you left my house, you're like, hey, I'm at Princesa, check out my food. And I'm just like, this asshole. Wow.
Yeah, but now you've moved out and now my brother lives in Benoni. What did he do to you that you're like, I've got to pack up and get out of here?
Yeah, I think he was there for like 2 or 3 weeks and
was like,
gone.
Yeah, it was like not even a month.
I didn't even get to visit him. No, you know what? I saw his times on Strava around the Panarade. It's like, fuck this. I need to get out of here. I can't listen, be around this fast runner.
Quick sidebar. My brother, he had a, was it beginning of this year? He actually ended up going to hospital to have an operation and everything because he had a hole in his lung the size of a pinhead.
Excuse me?
Yeah, which is like, how does that even happen? So he's obviously been recovering and he is running, but he's on the road to recovery. He's not doing like super long runs or super quick runs.
Wait. He was performing that well and he had a fucking hole in his lungs.
No. I mean, I think in the weeks leading up to that issue, he had like chest pains and stuff.
Okay.
No, yeah, it wasn't
running
not
like
a permanent,
21Ks.
No, it wasn't a permanent thing. It's something that obviously developed or happened. Like, I don't know how it happened.
But
that's the thing. You know, you can get holes in your lungs.
That's fucking crazy.
Size of a pinhead. And as far as I know, they like operated him and quite literally stapled it together.
Jesus, that's wild. Hectic. My that, God. Lesson, well, I'm glad he's on the mend. That sounds rough. Damn. Man, I should have set my times while he was on the mend then. I would have been like, check this shit out. I'm as fast as your brother.
Oh, God damn. I'm so fast. You see the little crown? It's mine.
You'd probably still fucking beat me. My God. There's people around that area and the times they post, I'm just like, how? So I was waiting for your brother to come and like, you know, show them what's up.
Not yet. He will.
He will.
There are people I'm convinced that get on their car, or their bike or their car, and they record. Because I'm like, that's physically impossible. How do you run that fast?
I mean, I say that of you sometimes when I'm following you on a 21K. I'm like, how? I'm like watching your legs move. I'm like, how?
Yeah, but then I look at my brother. I'm like, how? And he's looking at whoever wins going, how?
Yeah, exactly.
So this vicious cycle. I'll never forget the... There used to be the Hyundai Rock the Run. It happened every year. It was like a run in Sandton. There was a 10K and a 21K. Mm-hmm. And this is still my early running days. The race finishes. There's this one uphill. If you're driving towards like the mall, Sandton City Mall, I don't know what the road is, but it's like the steep uphill. You basically run up that road.
Ooh.
So I'm doing the 10K, right? And that's like the last K or two. But the 21K is basically the 10K, you know, looped twice. So I'm still just about to finish my 10K. And then from behind me, there's like you hear not an ambulance, you hear sirens and like a whole lot of people applauding. And the guy who's in first place has caught up and is about to finish his 21K.
Fucking crazy.
And I'm just about to finish my 10K. And on this uphill, I'm dying.
How?
This dude's just like flying, like literally just whoop.
Just power.
Doesn't even look like he's like, eh, bah.
I will never understand the ability to run like a 21K or even, you know, the people do like 42Ks who run them at like 3 minutes a K. I'm just like, cool.
Yeah.
I can't even do that for 1K. I can't sustain that. I'll just fall over and die.
Well, this morning, so we did laps around Zoo Lake, which we don't normally do. We just do a run. We will go around Zoo Lake and then finish our run, you know, map out a different route, whatever. But today we're like, oh, we need to make up some distance. Let's just run around Zoo Lake a couple of times. And then Lenska, she turns to me like, you can go ahead of me if you want. Like, it'll be quite cool if you could loop and catch me, like if you really want to go fast. I was like, listen, do you have any idea how, like, it sounds simple, but if you do the maths, do you have any idea how fast I have to run to catch you?
You have to be double the speed. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, let's just assume that the lake is 1 kilometer, like a perfect kilometer, and you do it in 6 minutes, which is a good pace. But my pace is 5 minutes. Okay.
Oh, no.
I have to run it in 3 minutes in order to catch you.
And even then, if you run it in 3 minutes, she's already run 3 minutes. So you're still,
I'll have to do it twice,
500 meters behind. Yeah.
Which is cool. Cool stuff, man. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, I need to find more routes around me because last weekend I went for a 10K run and got horribly lost. I was trying to recreate the old Ed's vitality run because I had it on Strava. I had the route.
Yeah.
So I looked at it because I don't know why, but for some reason Strava or there must be an app for it, but I would like an app that shows me the route on like my watch as like turn here, like GPS, but for running.
Yeah.
So I had to like try and memorize the route in my head. And I knew about half of it.
Yeah,
because mental markers I knew. But then after I passed Jan Ethelgray Park, like in Birdhaven, that's where I got lost. I was meant to stay left somewhere, and instead I turned right, and I was like, "Wow, this is a lot more uphill than I remember." And then next thing, I was at Rosebank Mall, and I was like, "Whoa, okay, no, I've climbed up a whole hill I did not need to climb up." So that's why it was so intense, because essentially, the race, you cross over like the road that goes up to Rosebank. Instead, I just climbed up that road. So,
my goodness.
Somehow the route ended up being the correct distance by the time I got back to the gym. Even though I took that mad detour, but Jesus, I was
just
dead.
Worked out.
Yeah,
I was
dead. And it was like at midday, so the sun was on.
Oh, no, like, that's super hard.
Yeah, and let me tell you, when roads aren't closed for your convenience to run, very hard to cross run some of those roads, especially some of the busy ones. It's like
that's why a lot of my routes, it's like minimal road crossing if possible.
And also just having cars around, like the exhausts in the air and stuff, it really fucks with your breathing. Like, it's really not.
But you don't like a big, you don't take a deep breath as a truck drives past.
A good hit of carbon monoxide. Love it. Seriously helps me on my run.
Oh, if you're wondering why I'm running faster than you, I've just told you.
That's your, you've got
don't do
pockets
that.
Of
You'll
carbon
die.
Monoxide and you're just like,
oh my God.
Yeah, that's how you die. Like
that's
literally.
How you die. Don't do it.
But yeah, it was hard. So that hill by the park, Ethelgray Park, Jesus, it's just like, it's up, and you get to the top, you're like, oh, finally, and you turn, and you're like, oh, no,
it's more.
Wait, no.
It's actual hell.
Yeah, it's like a proper kilometer of just like, just straight up there, yeah. It is really fun looking at Strava and seeing, what's that gradient number?
Yeah, like the elevation.
Yeah,
the,
you're like, -2, -5, -, and then it's just like
100.
And you're like, okay. Yeah,
yeah. You would have come do some stair training at the Westcliff Stairs.
Listen, every time I think about it in my mind, I like throw up in my mouth a little bit because it's just like it just sounds like hell. It sounds so hard.
Actual hell. It's good training, but it's actual hell. Jeez.
Speaking of hell, video games.
Yo,
what a great what segue.
Seamless segue. We're talking about Doom today.
You know, I still haven't finished Doom Eternal.
Why?
So, okay.
Game's good, but...
Let me tell you. I started the game on PC ages ago, like when it came out. And I put it on not the highest difficulty, but like, I think second highest, because I was like, I want to be challenged, whatever. Not realizing that the game itself just on a baseline is much harder because of the whole like chess-like nature of the combat.
It's like a juggling act.
Yeah.
I want you to do.
So I, you know, I persevered. I was dying a lot. And I persevered. And I got, I can't even remember how far I got, but eventually I was just like, I'm not actually having fun because like, you know, it's not giving me the power fantasy that I liked from Doom 2016. So I was like, fuck this. So I left it. I came back quite recently and I started the game again on a lower difficulty. And I got to where I had like bounced off last time in like one sitting. So I was like, okay, this is way more my speed now.
Yeah.
And since reaching that point, I haven't played. So I'm just like, I think we got busy with stuff, but like, I need to get back to it because I was having a great time at the low difficulty now. You know, I didn't give a shit that it's not as challenging. I was just like blasting through enemies, having a great time.
Yeah.
So yeah, game's good. It's also really nice on PC. I think
I played on PS4.
I do not know how you played the game with the controller.
Yeah, I had the same issue you did where I was just like, oh no, I quite like my shooters. I'll challenge myself, whatever. And it was a thing of like every room became this challenge. I was like, it's going to take me 4 years to finish this game. And like, not to knock playing the game on a controller, but like a game like that, I think you benefit from being a, you know, playing it on a keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. It really requires, you know, fast movements and precision. And
especially whatnot. When like you're aiming at weak points of enemies and you need to be super precise. Like
Exactly. So I just low the difficulty and then I had a really good time. Like it was a lot easier, but I was like, meh.
Yeah, I mean it's a power fantasy. I mean, it's still challenging. Like I still die. If I'm not careful. I still have to engage with the game's like, you know, like the I have to use fire to get armor shots and I have to use grenades to get whatever. So it's like it's not like I'm ignoring all of that. But yeah, Doom 2016, you could ramp up the difficulty because it was very single focused. It was like you shoot stuff, you do the glory kills to get health, and that's it. Like this is far more of a juggling act. So I just
really is.
I feel like the higher difficulties were just way too way too hard. I'm sure there are people there that really, like, really love it. Yeah.
They snort it.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see where they go with that. I presume they're doing the third
with
game.
But there's been DLC and stuff, which and I don't know
I haven't played that.
What they do.
I know the second because it was two story DLCs. I know the second one is like wild. It gives you a whole new like melee weapon and changes the formula in some ways. So I kind of want to play that. Hey, but weird, Doom is now a Microsoft property. Strange.
Oh
wow!
Did you see that Xbox put out there? They put out a post. It's basically you know Step Brothers the movie. I think it's like the box art or something. It's basically the two of them. It's like a typical family portrait.
Wasn't it like Doom Guy and Master Chief?
And Master Chief.
I did,
but
see that.
Modeled straight after that. It's so good.
I saw the one they put out as well, where it was like the cover of a Queen album with like the four faces, and it was like. I think a pirate from Sea of Thieves. I think a demon from... let me actually find it. I think it was a demon from Doom. It was a really cool picture. I like the fun that they're having with that sort of stuff. I mean, it's...
Yeah, they're doing like very cool crossover stuff.
It's marketing, end of the day, but I think it's quite cute and fun. Actually, let me look at Xbox South Africa because they just repost... the stuff, but
they
don't reply to as many tweets, so it's actually a lot easier. Speaking of this new controller that launched, that electric yellow, real nice. Yeah. Really,
I also think it's nice, and some people like it's disgusting.
I think it's really fucking... Let me tell you, because I recently picked up... Okay, I can't find this thing now, I give up. I recently got the Series X, and obviously now I've got my hands on the new controller. And a lot of people look at the new controllers and they're like, oh, it's identical. So firstly, not true. For one reason, I put it in my hand. I'm like, this feels smaller. And I looked it up and it's like, yeah, it is smaller. So it's kind of weird. It feels slightly odd in my hands because I'm so used to the other shape.
The bigger one, like, yeah.
But the thing I love about these new controllers that is now a standard thing is the back is textured. It's not it's not the rubber texture like the Elite controller, but it's sort of like the PS5, you know, it's got textured, but it's far more pronounced, I feel like.
Yeah.
So it feels grippier. And then the best on the triggers, there's texture. And that is just
that's cool.
Amazing. It just feels nice. So good. Yeah, controller's nice. I like see, and the D-pad's actually usable, so that's also great.
See, I'm all for I like the feeling of textured I love it, you know, man. Controllers. Yep. Except on the PS controller, because it's white, it is, it gets dirty and it's very frustrating to clean.
Especially Returnal.
Can we just, please tell me you saw the tweet from Darren.
Oh, okay, no, controller. Okay, listen. That is, there is something in the PEA
sacrilege.
That is causing him to exude like Marmite or something.
Hang on,
like,
let me pull it up for video viewers.
Jesus Christ, I've never in my life, like when he told me, oh, is your controller getting dirty because of the sweat from Returnal? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm sweating more than usual because of the stress or whatever. But then when he posted that photo, I was like, don't lump me into the same.
Where did it go?
Yeah, I'm looking for it yesterday. Now. He was it yesterday or the day before?
Did he delete it? It was, I thought it was yesterday. It might have been the day before.
Did he delete it?
Darren, why? Leave it, put it back so I can go look at it.
No, but I replied to this tweet, so it must be somewhere. Yeah, hold on.
I'll find it.
I'll know if he deleted it because I shared it on his Slack. And because I was like, Darren, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, what the?
We have to talk. So whether you're a video or audio listener, we'll describe it regardless. So if you have a PS5 controller, right? Okay. It's white. The back is textured. And listen, I wash my hands. I've made a point of, like, I wash my hands before I play my controller. I do wipe it down regularly, but it still gets dirty. But I think for science, Darren was like, I'm not going to wipe this controller ever. Because he did say he wipes his controller regularly as well.
Yes.
Yeah. But for Returnal purposes, he's just not going to. And let me tell you guys, the back of this controller is like covered in dirt. It's like, oh.
It's one of the most disgusting things I've seen in a very long time.
I think he must have deleted it.
What's bizarre is that I can't even find the link on...
Maybe even the Twitter bots are like, we cannot allow this to to live on the internet.
This is bizarre because I definitely, you know, shared it on Slack. Unless it was like way earlier in the week and we are just
I remember seeing it yesterday, but I don't know. Unimportant, I guess, but it was just fun to see.
Very important. Holy hell. I will keep looking while we continue to talk. But yes, I found that image now from Xbox. So it was a pirate and a skull from Sea of Thieves, and then the dog and a suit of Brotherhood of Steel armor from Fallout.
Oh, nice!
Doing the like queen, you know, the like cover where very good.
It's good.
Very good. I like it quite a bit.
But I guess...
But speaking of Darren's gross hands on Returnal, good game.
So if you guys... Well, for those of you who watch us on YouTube, you will have seen we did already post a nice lengthy review. Almost, I think it's almost 40 minutes.
Yeah, and I think when we started, we were like, oh, this will be like, you know...
It's a 20 minutes discussion, whatever, maybe. Yeah. So we've spoken about this game at length. And if you haven't seen the video, would recommend, because we really, you know, dive deep into why we like the game, because we do. We love Returnal. It's a good game. And we also just get to see some gameplay, which is, you know, it's beautiful to look at. So
you get to see Matty's gameplay, which means it's actually good.
Listen, the preview we did was the first hour of gameplay. And I was like, me still learning the ropes of that game. So it must have been awful to watch. But the B-roll I put over this last video is after many hours, and I feel a lot better at the game. So I'm hoping it's more enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I think it was really cool gameplay that showcased like a wide breadth of the game and its biome.
Different so things, that yeah. being
spoilery, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I showed a lot of the second biome in this video, but yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll talk about it at length too much today, but after we've played Returnal both 15 to 20 hours a piece.
I've played less than you, but yeah.
Yeah, and we both really like it. I think Housemarque have successfully taken their signature gameplay of, you know, bullet hell, fast-paced movements, and put it into a third-person roguelite. And the game is difficult, although it's so weird because, like, the discourse on Twitter, from what I've seen, it's people saying it's tough as nails and other people saying, like, no, it's not that difficult. I'm like... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I fall in the camp where I finished it like relatively quickly, but I acknowledge that it's still a very difficult game. At no mm-hmm. point do I go, oh, that was a cakewalk. I'm like, no, I finished it, but like it's really fight hard to finish it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what those people who are like, it is a cakewalk, like, did they just have really good builds? Are they esport legends? Like, I don't know.
or did they get like really lucky with builds early on that, you know, allowed them to get far enough that it made them feel like the game was actually easier than a lot of people.
Yeah, have been. Because on that, I mean, you and I definitely had different experiences where, I mean, I've said this a million times now, but every time I made it out of the first biome, I've never failed a run where I've made it out of the first biome. I've died plenty in the first biome,
I've died many times outside of the two starting biomes. Put it that way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I get tripped up the most is like I am, you know, I'm playing biomes 1 and 4 like pretty regularly and waxing them pretty easily. And then as soon as I get into a new one, it's just like, I don't know, maybe I get stressed and that's why, because I'm just like, oh God, if I die here, I lose so much time, you know, stuff like that. But that's also one thing that I've seen like become a discourse on Twitter is like the actual length of runs. So a lot of people, like, if you're spending hours on runs, you're doing this, you're playing the game wrong. And I'm like, okay, well then I'm playing the game wrong, because
I disagree.
Yeah, I'm spending like a good half an hour, 45 minutes farming the starting biome you're in, so I give myself a good enough crack at the next biome. But then I see a lot of people like, you should spend 15, 20 minutes max in those biomes and then move on if you've unlocked. So when you beat a boss in a biome and you go to a new one, the shortcut, quote unquote, to the new biome is generally found like pretty early into a new run, generally. So you can get back there pretty quickly. So I don't know if I should just be risking shit far quicker and like beelining it to the new biome as soon as I can. But I mean, my best success, I mean, the only way I got past biome 3 was I farmed the hell out of the first one, skipped the second entirely, and went straight to the third, and then I was fine. But if I didn't get all the health and suit upgrades in that first one, like, wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, so. I don't know. So just before we get to that, the reason I brought that up is that you and I have had different experiences, purely because, like, I can't imagine dying on the last biome, for example, and having to start again. Like, I'm fortunate that I've seen the run out to the end, rolled credits, and be like, oh, cool. Like, that is my experience. I haven't had the frustration of I've made it to the second boss and I've died. I've lost like 2 hours of progress. I've got to start again. So I can't even imagine having to deal with that, because holy shit, that must be like hell. I don't even want to.
It's so infuriating.
But then at the same time, I completely disagree. Like, I can see people running through the game. Sure. Like, if you finish the game and you've rolled credits a few times and you know it inside out, yeah, like, by all means, you probably are good enough at the game that you can just beeline through the biome. But for someone like you, or people who are still trying to finish the game, like, I completely disagree with that advice. I'm like, no, I think you need to spend the time farming each biome. Like, you do need the currency and the health upgrades and the relics, like, because it's just going to benefit you in the long run. So
yeah, because especially as soon as you go into new biomes, like, your weapon proficiency gets boosted up to the level that it needs to be, which is fine. like, you still need to find a weapon that makes use of that new proficiency. Otherwise, like, you will do very little damage.
Yeah.
But, like, without health upgrades especially, like, you're going to be knocked. You're going to be instantly killed by some enemies.
Mm.
So, you know, and then there's all the other passive things that come, you know, outside of that. Like, you can have a lot of health, but no, what's it called? Protection?
Yeah, you don't get protection, or you don't have any damage buffs or anything.
Yeah, so like all the damage is just going to chew away at your health bar anyway. So you have to find this like real balance. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know how you do any of that by jumping straight into the area that that killed you the last run. You know, like, yeah, it saves you a lot of time, but I don't know in the long run if you're just gambling with like getting a good run going there as opposed mm-hmm. to... But you know, in the same vein, it is incredibly frustrating to farm the starting biome like I do
again,
often.
Yeah, over and over again.
And you
again,
get back into the new one, and like 2 minutes and you die, and you're just like, well, that was a colossal waste of fucking time because now all of that means nothing. So
yeah,
I don't know. I guess it's just different approaches people have taken, but I guess the big part of this game is like experimentation. Just
For sure.
You gotta give yourself time to kind of like try everything out, and that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because, like, I think even in our earliest discussions of the game, I feel like I'm so used to Hades, for example, where it is about you literally walk into a room, you kill everything, you move on. Whereas Returnal to me feels like it is meant to be a slower paced, you know, really methodical, take your time. I mean, obviously, I don't mean in the action, like you have to move fast, be quick, you know, fast reflexes, whatever. But
you have to be careful as well, yeah.
Yeah, but those in-between moments where, like, you've cleared the room, it's like, you shouldn't just run to the next one. It's like, no, there's health upgrades around. There's, you know, resources. There's different things to pick up. Maybe a boss dropped a weapon. Like, you have to take the time to go and look and pick up those things, you know? So I don't know. It's this weird balancing act where, like, I can't criticize the game for it, but like, there are different angles that people come in and criticize the game based on how they play it. So, like we've said, we think that it's better to be slow and methodical, but other people are like, no, you're doing it wrong. Like, but don't.
And maybe that works for them. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm at the point where I haven't finished the game, so maybe I should be trying something different, but. You know, you finished it multiple times, and you're the one who says like your shortest run is like 2 hours, and to some people
runs are like 2 to 3 hours, honestly.
Yeah, like, and some people are like, that's ridiculous. Your run should never be that long. But like, if you finish the game multiple times, who's to say that you're playing it wrong? You know what I mean? So
yeah, I don't know.
And that just feeds into this thing, because a lot of this discourse came about when articles were going up saying, it's ridiculous that Returnal doesn't have a save feature when runs can be 2 to 3 hours long. And some people are like, why are you talking about 2 to 3 hour runs? They shouldn't be that long. But in my view, if you have a game like Hades, where runs are max, when you start really, I think your very first run, which is probably your hardest, 45 minutes,
it's like
maybe.
45 minutes, yeah.
And after that, you can start waxing them in like 30, 20 minutes even. That has a save, a mid-run save.
That's like but that's got a save by room.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Dead Cells got a save. Why does this game not have a save?
I've seen the same thing of people going like, why do you need a save? And I'm like, it doesn't take away from the game.
It doesn't.
Like,
it's, no.
It really does. Like, I'm not... When we say it's save, okay, just for clarity, like, we're not saying... Oh, I want to save here, and then oh shit, I died at the boss. I want to reload the save.
No. It's no manual saves.
No, it's literally like a quick save of if I put my console to sleep or off. If I boot it up, I'm in the exact same spot I left it, because Returnal doesn't have that.
Especially when the PS5 still has issues with its rest mode, where it can just whack you offline. Like,
do you know that I had a run, so. I streamed it on Thursday, and I knew that whatever I'd played on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'd left off in the third biome, like sort of towards the end of the game, or the end of that run, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, cool, I'll just finish it on stream and then start, you know, start again. When I booted up my PlayStation, my game was there. PlayStation hadn't been put off, standby mode, but booted up the game, it just had booted me back to...
Oh, God.
I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, I'd finished the game. Like, whatever. Cool. I didn't really lose anything.
Mm.
But, like, come on. If that was my winning run and you kicked me out, I'd no. be very, yeah,
exactly.
Very upset.
That's hours of gameplay just gone. Like,
yeah.
It's... To me, there's no real excuse. Like, it doesn't matter if you don't foresee a way where you can use it. The point is that a game where you can lose progress an hour and a half, even 40 minutes of progress, if you can lose that and it can be prevented by a save, like, it should be there. Especially, you know, we are a very small demographic, and, you know, this isn't a common thing, but, like, we have load shedding. Power failures are pretty predominant. So, like, you can be playing a run and next thing power goes. Like, being able to feel confident that because you never finished the run, you can load back into a room and continue that run is great. Sometimes the PlayStation, when you put into rest mode, decides to do a fucking system update. So, just closes the game, you know? And then
I think that might have happened to me. I don't know.
I mean, on top of it, you're playing on a console which doesn't have something like... quick resume on Xbox. So if you start a run, you're locked into that run. Like, if you do not finish that run, you cannot change games. You cannot, restart the console for any sort of updates. If the game updates and you want to, you know, bring in those updates, you can't do that until you finish your run. It's just stupid. Like, it's really, really shit. And, you know, as a first party game, you can't tell me that, oh, the resources were spread thin, whatever. Like, Hades has it. Dead Cells has it. Splunky has it. Like,
look, you would know better than anyone because, you know, you do game developments. I'm not saying it's a simple thing of, like, you know, enable quick save one.
Yeah.
But I have to believe it's not that complicated.
I think maybe their concern, I'm just speculating here, but maybe their concern was it being exploited in a way.
Yeah,
but, like,
I get that, but
I just don't understand how it would be exploited if it was just an auto save that you don't control. Like, as soon as you die, that save is just wiped.
That's it.
Done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's how it works in Hades. Yeah.
So I don't know why it's not there. But I do think, I mean, they've said on Twitter that they're listening to the community. I suspect it will come very soon.
They'll put it in, yeah. Because, sorry, that something like that is enough to put someone off the game entirely.
Mm.
Like, people will be like, fuck this, and then just never play it again. And you don't want that. So.
Yeah. I mean, if the PS5 was rock solid and had no issues with rest mode, fine. But I know a lot of people who refuse to use rest mode still because they still have issues with it, like, crashing their console. So you cannot depend on a console that does that. Rather just have a save that mitigates that, you know? What is bizarre is that I've seen a lot of people talking about bugs that I've never come across. Like,
I've had a couple of bugs.
Like, lockdowns not being lifted, so they just have to restart their run,
I think
Gareth Woods said that are deep into a run and, like, there's no recourse. Like, you just got to restart that run and I would be livid.
I'd be very upset.
I've seen people saying the game crashes. I haven't experienced that yet.
I think I've had one crash, but it was like beginning. It's, well, like the first 20 minutes of
it's
runs.
Weird,
like,
for a first party game to have hard crashes. That is like a huge no-no. Yeah, I mean, the first update for the game came out and I saw Digital Foundry did, you know, their analysis of it. And good thing is that I wasn't going crazy. The game does have frame drops when shit gets real wild with particles. I could feel it at times. Like, I mean, it's not drastic. It drops into, like, from 60 to, like, 50. But it was enough for me to feel like, ooh, something, like, jerked there. Like, something was weird. But, I mean, they're doing so much in that game visually. Like, for the most part, it's locked at 60. And I can't really say I feel hard done by any of the performance of that game. I think it looks great and runs great. So
yeah, I can't say I've picked up any of that.
Hmm.
And
it's just, we are spoiled for load times. I can't go back to something that isn't that anymore now.
Well, you know what's funny is that speaking of like surprise updates and stuff, the game did update on launch day. It was like a 10 gig update. Yeah, so I'd already started streaming and I was like, oh shit, like I didn't realize there was an update. Cool, like let's just play when the update's out. I'll just do it quickly. So I'd launched updates. I'm like, cool chat. Like we'll talk a bit while it installs. Because having
you're playing with your life there, hey? Like the copying processes.
Having been a PS4 owner, I'm like, shit, this could take like anywhere from 5 minutes to like 10 hours because not even like a split second was installed. It's like,
oh, okay, damn. Nice.
It just worked. Yeah.
You're lucky because some games are super lucky, that still.
Yeah, it is a 10 gig update, which isn't massive, but it installed like instantly. It's like, oh.
There's still some Call of Duty ones that take forever to copy, and I do not understand why.
I've uninstalled that game. I can't. Updates are just too big.
You need that space in your internal drive.
Yeah, so I realized this particular session came across as a Returnal bitching session. There are some issues with the game.
Mm.
But overall, like I do love this game. And I'm in the process of figuring out how to still finish it. Because like we've said, I've rolled credits, but there's definitely more to the game. And I know what to do now. It was an interesting time before the game goes out into the wild. Okay, you are one of few people in the world playing this game. You go, I wonder how I do that. You can't Google it.
Yeah.
So it ends up being discussions of like via DM or messages with other people playing. Like, hey, have you done this yet? Whatever. And for me, that was Gareth Woods, who we mentioned earlier. We were busy pinging each other back and forth, like, oh, I think we do this, we do that. And then you even said to me, like, oh, there's a guide GameSpot who suspects this. I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because that's what we think we have to do as well.
It was kind of, I wasn't involved in that process, but watching it unfold is really fascinating.
Yeah. Like, and I think that's cool. If I don't know how the greater community, I'm sure by now, like, someone's figured out, oh shit, this is how you unlock this part of the game. But it must have been cool to be part of that as a greater community, like going to Reddit being like, hey man, I've done this, but like, what's next? And they sit and they figure it out together, you know?
I think it's cool that the game has that. Like, that's something I would have never expected from it, like a sort of like secret way to trigger this new act. Gives the game legs, I think, which is cool.
And they do it in a very clever way, because you roll credits and it's like, okay, that's definitely not it, but there's something more here. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to do another run. And you pick up an item and Celine says something. And it's just a little breadcrumb. You go, I think I know what to do now. It's very cool.
That's cool. I like that. Like you said, this felt like a bit of a bitching session, but it's like, because we like the game so much, there are little things that really stand out as really irksome. Like I still have not completed a run of this game, and I still like it, and I still want to throw my controller at the screen when I get fucking like wrecked by a creature so far into a run. But I really like this game. Like, I constantly think about it, and when I sit down to play it, or when I sit down and I want to play a game, that's the thing I boot up. I think I wonder if my opinion of it would have been colored differently if I didn't have like this long 5-day weekend to really like dig into it.
I can
say it is not super, it is not a great game for like a 2-3 hour session after a day of work. Not great.
I don't mind. I'm down for it.
I mean, it takes a while to get into, and then by the time I'm into it, I'm like, well, I can basically do one run if this goes well enough. You know what I mean? So,
oh God.
Yeah, but that's a very subjective thing that's not down to the game. Like, games require certain investments from players, and I think that if you aren't up for that, then it's just not a game for you. I don't think every game needs to be palatable in 30-minute sessions. That's just ridiculous. So
yeah,
I still think the runs are too long, but I don't think that. Yeah, a game needs to cater to your lifestyle specifically. Either it is for you or it's not for you. That's
at the very least, the way they incorporated shortcuts into the run, I still think is very clever. Like,
I do think there is
a means to skip, you know, ahead. Even when you do repeat runs, you don't have to fight the bosses. Mm-mm. You can 100% just circumvent them and be like, I'm just going to run past.
The only way I got through Biome 3, I skipped Biome 2 completely. I farmed up Biome 1, I felt confident, and I went straight to 3. So like, Yeah, I like that because I think if, you know, the biomes themselves are long. So if you were to fight through each one, it would be ridiculous. Like even if you got to skip the boss at the end. I do like that the bosses are there still as an optional thing. Like you can use them to farm ether or just feel like a badass.
You do get rewarded, yeah.
Yeah, you get some good rewards. I guess in the first biome, if you wanted to hand in a data cube, you had to fight the boss because the thing was only behind them. But in biome 4, it's before. So that's
And biome 2 as well. I think it's just before you fight the boss.
Man, that first boss is so easy now. It's like,
can I tell you, even the, I must actually go look at the VOD, but even the second and third boss, it's weird when you do it enough, you're like, it's the first time easy. It's like, it's actual hell. It's like, oh my God, there's so many bullets happening. Mm-hmm. I took no damage in the first phases of both bosses and I was like, damn.
It's kind of ridiculous, like going back to the first boss and being like, I used to think this was a bullet hell. Now it just seems tame compared to just regular gameplay. It seems tame. Because Jesus, some of those biomes, some of the enemies, smaller enemies, especially when they start throwing down in biome 4, the little squid guys who look like they're the squids from the Matrix. I like them a lot. when they throw down that little orb that produces like the red rings that expand. Fuck. Crazy. And then you get the enemies who do that, but with the purple rings, so you can't dash through them. It starts becoming wild. And
I can't wait for you to get to biome 6. It's interesting times ahead for you.
I'm scared of it.
So scared. But yeah, Returnal, if you've got a PS5, I think like we've said before, there's a conversation to be had whether you like challenging games or not, because Returnal is challenging.
It is.
So if you bounce off the likes of Dark Souls, like, sorry, that's just the easiest comparison, you may not enjoy the challenge that this game presents. That being said, it might be more accessible to you because maybe you prefer third-person shooters. I don't know. It's interesting to see how people are reacting to a AAA roguelite, because this is a genre that's existed for many years now, but I think this is the first time many people are experiencing it. So yeah, I would
go for it.
I would be very interested to see if this success leads to other AAA roguelites being developed.
I hope
EA or Ubisoft or even Xbox. Like,
I hope so, because it's cool that, you know, this sort of genre has been given a budget to like kind of expand in a way that, you know, I'm not saying that indie games couldn't do this, but I think indie games structure it differently based on, you know, budget and time as well. So,
but yeah. I mean, I can tell you now that despite Hades winning many, many, many awards, a lot of people still look at it and be like, not for me.
You know
what you're missing out on.
if I had to be that person, and this is a very unfair thing, but I still prefer Hades to Returnal. But there's lots of other different factors that contribute to that. So
yeah,
they are different games, very different. And I think just because something's a roguelike doesn't mean you can compare it apples to apples.
I think we just bring up Hades a lot because it's the most recent example that.
Of a very
likely
good
a lot of people,
light,
likely a lot more people have played because it was, I mean, it was one game of the year awards from many different publications.
And you know, we forget that Hades was in early access for a year, so it had a year of community feedback to kind of tune itself to be perfect.
Wasn't it 2 years? It was a lot.
Maybe
it was
2 years.
Yeah, it was a long time.
You can't expect Returnal to hit those sort of levels, you know, day one. Like, I expect Housemarque to tune it over time, which will be great. But yeah. Also, if you find Returnal easy, go play Spelunky. Enjoy yourself. My God, that game is brutal. Holy shit.
Go play Dead Cells. Dead Cells is also quite brutal.
If you had to take those four as like premier roguelikes, Hades is by far the easiest one, like not even a question. And I still found Hades hard, but I'm not looking at Spelunky or Dead Cells and being like, yeah, those are easier than Hades. Not a chance.
No, those are, yeah. Sure. So we haven't really played anything else. I think we will have a lot more to talk about next week. There's some stuff coming.
I was just laughing because Blessing Adeoye Jr. from Kinda Funny, he found that there is a, I think you have to opt into it, but there's a way for the PlayStation app to notify your friends when you die in Returnal. And his thread on giving people shit for dying is real fun. Like, he tags Andy Cortez. He's like, still stuck in the first biome. You'll get him next time, King.
So, I like Blessing. I think he's one of the greatest additions to the Kinda Funny crew. He's just got this like young energy, but different kind of energy.
It's real sad good. Boy Barrett, I believe in you. You'll make it back to the second biome eventually, bro. Oh god. Just giving so much.
My goodness.
Speaking of, not to hop on Returnal, but I thought at launch it would change. I'm still not seeing dead bodies of other players.
I don't know what's up with that.
I'm not
like
sure.
Did they just take it out?
I don't know. Like, but I'm not seeing, like, it was there for the first 2 days and now it's just
gone. Mysteriously gone. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there were some infrastructure issues. I don't know.
Yeah, it's maybe just they so saw strange.
With even just the journalists who are playing the game, like maybe it presented, I don't know, server-side issues.
The other day I was thinking maybe there's some story reason that they're not triggering anymore, but like...
No, it's... I don't know.
It's just, to me, it's bizarre because it was like a cool thing where it was like a risk reward thing and now it's just gone. It's like a whole element ripped out of the game. So
yeah. I hope they bring it back.
Yeah, it feels weird. I would love to know why it's not there anymore, unless I just missed an explanation. But
no, I don't think you did. Okay, shall we get
move
to
on to games releases?
Game releases. Let me just put a little time.
My God,
we're
in May.
Here.
Fucking hell.
Oh boy, this is a big week, let me tell you.
Oh yeah. So we're looking at game releases from May 1st until May 7th. May the 4th be
it's
with
gonna
you.
It's
going
to be
week.
May. Nice.
So we have big hitters this week. Huge ones. I mean, this is easily the biggest one of the lot. Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Sure.
Listen, I love that game. So good. That's actually finally coming to Xbox One and Xbox Series S and X. It's also going to be on Game Pass. Listen, I've never played a Dragon Quest actual RPG. And I don't really like Minecraft. I love Dragon Quest Builders so much. It's like,
good lord,
it's like Minecraft but structured, because you've got quests that you
actually have quests. Yeah,
and it's got like a very cutesy story that goes along with it. This game is so good. I love the first one. I think the second one is equally as good. They are really long games. Like, holy shit! So it's a really cool game to come back to every now and then. Yeah, because like you finish a city and its story and you're like, oh, that's the game credits. And it's like, nah, fam, there's like five of these. And one of them will take like 10, 15 hours. It's a long game. But Dragon Quest Builders 2 improves on the first one in a lot of ways. And I really like it. I played it on Switch. It's really good. So yeah, we'll recommend.
Nice.
Out on May 6th on PC, game called Hi-Rises.
Hi-Rises.
I wonder if it's like City Skyline. Let's see.
Probably. I'm going to guess, yeah.
Game. Maybe it's a city builder. Ah, an urban survival RPG. We were wrong. Exploring and defending... Why is that capitalized? Exploring and defending in a desolate metropolis haunted by the mysterious dreamers. Lead a team of four survivors through this urban desert of skyscrapers and high-rises where the streets are crowded with mutated victims of a strange disease. Okay.
My goodness.
That's... cool, I guess. It's very different to what I thought it'd be. But yeah, that's on... Oh, that's weird. On Steam, it says it's actually coming out 27th May. So maybe this list I'm watching is wrong. Okay, whatever. It's coming out eventually. Skate City, coming to every platform under the sun on May 6th.
Literally.
Game of the week, I think, yeah. Resident Evil Village. PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X, and Stadia, May 7th. Cannot wait. I know that media have been playing it for a long time, but we don't have code.
I don't have any insider knowledge, but I do think it's going to review pretty well.
I haven't even played the demos because I don't want to spoil myself.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I played the demos and I really enjoyed them.
The full demo's out now, if you want to.
Oh, yeah. If you want to. Yeah, wait, is it?
Yeah, they extended it a week as well. So you, okay, you have a week say, to download was, the combined yeah. village and castle demo, and you have an hour to play them.
Hmm.
So that's yeah, cool.
Enjoy.
Good
luck, have fun.
This was a surprise announcement for the week, but Metro Exodus, its previously announced Enhanced Edition, is coming out on May 7th. So this is a free update for anyone who owns it on PC. And mm-hmm. it requires a graphics card that can do hardware-based ray tracing. So that is only your RTX 20 series, 30 series, and the latest cards from AMD, the RX 6000s. Yeah.
Do AMD cards do actual ray tracing?
Hardware. Right? Yeah, they do it poorly. their ray tracing performance is very far behind NVIDIA's at the moment, which, you know, kind of sucks because that's the hardware that's in the consoles. It's like, damn.
Shit. Yeah.
Damn. But yeah, so that's Atom May 7. It adds a lot of stuff. I would recommend going and watching
an actual video, yeah.
Yeah, Digital Foundry has a 40-minute breakdown of all the things
we were going to cover it on news later.
Oh, well, yeah, we can talk about it now. It's big stuff. It's like completely ray traced global illumination. So every light source in the game now contributes to ray tracing and contributes to what they call emissive lighting. So areas that used to be very dark, for instance, are now actually much lighter because mm-hmm. the light is bouncing around the area far more realistically. And also light colors are melding together. So if you have a fire, for instance, the shadows and the light on objects around it are tinted an accurate like orange or red based on the distance and intensity of
that's
the light.
That's crazy.
Like you can see there are two differences. Yeah. So you would immediately look at the left and be like, oh, that's more moody and realistic, but it's not. It's, you know, this is the light bouncing around and coming into contact with things more accurately. And things like shadows behind objects or ambient occlusion are now calculated dynamically. So if objects move, or if you have a flashlight, all of that like shadow culling is done like really, it's done in real time and perfectly. It's how your eye sees it in real life. So
it's crazy.
I mean, Digital Foundry says it's the most impressive lighting system they've ever seen in a game.
Shit.
So yeah, what's interesting is that performance-wise, it doesn't take a bigger knock on your stuff. It's not like suddenly you are like halving your frame rate to do it. There is a performance deficit for sure. Mm-hmm. But it just requires hardware ray tracing because there's a lot going on now.
Yeah.
Digital Foundry also has like recommended settings based on your hardware. I'm very keen to jump into this and give it a go because it looks incredible. Absolutely.
Can you believe games are of this now?
Yeah. I mean, look at this. This looks like a photo. You can see as he moves towards the light source, it's like you in a room, you know, if the sun comes out and is hitting a window, this is how the room's going to be lit. So when you, especially in Metro Exodus where you have a day-night cycle, you can stand in a room and the lighting of that room will change dynamically based on the time of day, the position of the sun, but in a way that is, you know, indiscernible from real life, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, incredible stuff. Very, very cool.
Wild. I just think back to past me looking at PS2 and PS3 games going, wow, so lifelike.
I mean, even you know, Metro Exodus 2 years ago was like a ray tracing showcase. And now it's like, wow, that game looks archaic.
It's an even
compared to
even
what they
bigger
do
ray tracing showcase.
Yeah, so that's free on PC if you own the game. And any new version you buy will be that version. Nice. They did say there is a graphics upgrade coming to the game on consoles as well. I don't know if it will be. It definitely won't be this intense because the consoles just cannot deal with this. Or maybe they can. Maybe they can to a certain degree. Both of them have ray tracing capable hardware. So don't know. We'll see.
I don't know.
The biggest thing is it also has the new version of DLSS. So Metro Exodus launched with DLSS version 1, which was terrible. It just did not work. Well, it worked, but like the visual hit was so big compared to what it is now. So now you can actually run it at high frame rates without any visual hits. So that's cool.
God damn.
Out on May 7th, Flowing Lights, PC, Xbox One, and Switch. Cool.
Nice. I think that's it.
Oh, yeah, that is it. I thought there was one after this. No, there isn't. Okay, yeah, that's it. Lots of good games coming out this week. May is a chock-a-block month. We have, like, Mass Effect Legendary Edition. We've got Rust on console, if you hate yourself. yeah.
My goodness.
Stuff. There was going to be Deathloop, but now, yeah, that got delayed.
It's coming out in September. Mm. We're getting closer to June with this good old Final Fantasy VII.
When is that Final Fantasy VII? Oh, 10th of June. That's June, so it's like 10, E3 yeah. time. And then, oh God, so it's 10th of June, and then the day after that is Ratchet and Clank. Holy shit.
Mm.
And then we've got the real Game of the Year contender here, Mario Golf Super Rush on June
25th. Hey, I'm excited for that.
I'm so excited. I love arcade golf games because I hate real golf. Sort you out in
the course. Can't wait.
Hell yeah. So excited for that.
Oh, goodness.
Should we get to gaming news?
Gaming news. Yes.
Yeah, we covered Metro. Do you want to take whatever next one?
Shall we start with, where is the one story? Oh, I think let's start with this one because I think it's a pretty big deal.
What a great header. Love it.
Business is booming for Microsoft. Total gaming revenue up by 50%. Mm. I mean, look at this image. but yeah, this is a pretty big deal. So I suppose just for context, if you put Sony and Microsoft side by side, like the PlayStation has been killing Xbox. Like, let's be honest, the PS4 destroyed the Xbox One. Mm. But going to the new generation with the Xbox Series X and S and Game Pass, Microsoft have honestly been doing all the right things, like in my opinion. They've really been ticking all the boxes and they're setting themselves up for a very successful, you know, generation of consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know Corona definitely helped. Like, there's no beating around the bush on that. But just the fact that they've posted these huge, huge, like, positive results, I'm like, damn, I think that's a really good sign of things to come. So Microsoft reported gaming revenue of $3.5 billion for the quarter ending March 31st, 2021, up 50% year on year.
Mm, and from, then Xbox, from $10 billion to $15 billion year on year.
Which crazy. Is, yeah. Then Xbox content and services revenue up 34% year on year, driven That's by huge. Strong software sales and Game Pass growth. Yeah. So they didn't share any Game Pass numbers, but I think the last two significant figures we saw, I think initially it was like, hey, we've got 15 million active subscribers. And then a few months later, it was like, hey, we've got 18 million active subscribers.
It's massive. Like,
it's insane. It's yeah. like, yeah.
And that's why they're focusing on that service so much. I mean, Microsoft is very clever by just stating revenue and not straight profit, because I do wonder what the profits on something like Game Pass is right now.
Yeah.
I suspect if it even is there, that it's relatively small, because
I think it's small.
Yeah, it's a long-term bet, and long-term bets take a while to become profitable. That's just how business works.
Yeah.
So the hardware growth is expected because, like, well, new consoles, so obviously their hardware is going to be going up. But I think 50% in gaming revenues is big. Like, that's the sort of boost you would want from a new console launch. And if it wasn't that big, then you'd start worrying, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was aided by Corona and it was aided by new consoles, but Microsoft didn't have momentum going into this gen, so the fact that they've jumped 50% is great.
It's insane, but not to be discounted from any race, not that this is a race that we're talking about, but Sony has sold 7.8 million PS5 consoles, which
a lot.
In itself is a shit ton of consoles. I mean, the console's been out, what, like 6 months?
The thing that blows me away is that despite the supply chain issues that both consoles are experiencing, the PS5 is still managing to outsell the PS4, which blows my mind. Like,
and PS4 like hugely successful
yeah.
console. But I mean they also posted other numbers, if I'm not mistaken. So the number of PlayStation Plus subscribers is now 47.6 million.
Jesus.
A 14% increase.
That's huge
year.
As well. Like don't discount
yeah.
that. Yeah. And then, PlayStation's gaming revenue was much higher than Microsoft's. It was 25 billion.
Yeah, year which is year. Insane. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so look, to me, that makes sense. If you have a yeah. if you have a console, especially year on year, if you're looking at the, what is it, like 8-7 months yeah. of last year that had no new consoles, like they had almost 3 times more consoles than Microsoft out in the wild. So, of course, their gaming revenue is going to be bigger. Like,
yeah,
it's just, no, that's for just sure. mathematics. Like,
well, so, I think what's positive to take away from this is that just the gaming companies, the hardware peeps are doing well, mm-hmm. which always just, you know, bodes well for the future of gaming, I'd say.
Yeah, I think yeah, both consoles are doing very, very well and both have a good start to this gen. So that's always good. Yeah, always happy yeah. to see that.
Well, what should we bounce to next?
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank.
So. Rift Apart. So we got a state of play on Thursday, which showed off like 16 minutes of gameplay.
Yeah, this video is, 16 minutes.
And so, I mean, early in the week, we finally got a name for this new Lombax in this new dimension. She's called Rivet, which I think is quite funny. Cause
super, super good name.
Ratchets and Rivets, very fun. so, yeah, I mean, this game looks visually just unbelievable.
It's insane. Just seriously. Yeah, we'll get crazy. To gameplay in a second. But so, as someone who, you know, has not played a Ratchet and Clank, I hear you. It's actual sacrilege.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the effort to play the, is it 2015, 2016 remake
yeah.
of 2016 remake of the first one, which mm-hmm. has recently received a PS5 performance patch. So
it runs so smoothly.
Very much looking forward to playing that. I mean, I might start that this weekend. I don't know.
It's
we'll
really
see.
Good.
We'll see.
I also restarted it because I just like that game a lot. I played a bunch of them on PS2, but the nice thing about the series is it's relatively standalone. Like the you see characters that, you know, come and go in the entries, and it's nice to have some context for them, especially like the bad guy in this one, Dr. Nefarious, is a kind of like a mainstay bad guy in the series. But they feel like, you know, like he's there, he's a bad guy. The plot of each game is standalone. It doesn't require you to know the events of a previous one. So that's pretty cool.
It's a bit like Crash Bandicoot in that sense.
Yes, like Cortex is always a bad guy, but you don't need to know what happened in Crash 2 to figure out what's going on in Crash 3, sort of.
Yeah. I mean, just, sorry, if you're watching on YouTube, just look at this. It's,
yeah, it's... Shit, the amount of busyness in each of the maps is kind of staggering to me. It's really mind-blowing. It looks beautiful. I can't tell from the... Because the video was uploaded to YouTube at 30 frames, but so I can't tell if the gameplay is 30 or 60.
60 FPS, yeah.
I do know the remake launched at 30, so it's not out of the question.
I was just going to say that it would be nice to have it at 60, but looking at the amounts of detail and, you know, just busyness on the screen, I don't know if they'll manage to achieve that.
And all the ray tracing that's happening as well. So.
But because look at this now. We're still getting to the big
open
area. My goodness.
It's really unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, the remake when it launched was at 30, but it was solid 30, so it felt great. I had no issues then playing it on PS4. It's just now playing it on PS5. I'm like, oh, okay, this is a lot smoother. So this feels nice, you know. But yeah, this game looks, I mean, visually just looks cool. And it's got some cool new features. I think the parkour features that it has, like Ratchet can wall run now and he gets like a dash. It very much reminded me of Sunset Overdrive. You know, Sunset Overdrive walks so Ratchet could fly. Stuff like that.
But it's actually, I was listening to the Kind of Funny podcast, and I think it was Blessing who said that he's also like replaying the original remake, whatever. He's saying what he felt is missing from that game is the fact that you literally are just jumping around to, you know, avoid enemy fire. And it just feels like the modern twist is just having a dash. Mm. And this game has a dash, which I think we'll just make it feel that much better.
Yeah, I definitely think so, because in the older games, he's right. You only got like a jump. What you could do was like lock on an enemy and do a strafe jump, so like a sidewards jump, which felt really cool. But yeah, you didn't have a dash. And I think the stuff that they've added here just modernized the formula a little bit. Which is great. I like a lot of the new weapons. Part of the best thing about a new Ratchet game is just your weapons are so ridiculous and outlandish, but the new ones, they always give you new ways to dispatch enemies, and I love it. So yeah, this game looks good. Sure, it's not delayed. It's out June 11th still. So hyped. Super stoked.
Yeah, I think this, like we said, Returnal's the first big proper exclusive. I think this is the first AAA proper exclusive.
This is going to be a big
deal. I mean, not that, you know, we've had Miles Morales and Demon's Souls but
they're different. Demon's
Souls,
yeah.
Demon's Souls is a remake. Miles Morales is basically a standalone slash expansion for an existing
and
game.
Both of them didn't like make full use of the stuff like the controller and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm very excited for this game. I love Ratchet and Clank games, so you know I have that going for me, but I think this one just looks really good as well. So very excited.
It's a good time.
What next?
So we just fly through PS Plus games for May. Which I think PS has had such a strong lineup the last few months. Now it feels a bit lukewarm to get Wreckfest. I don't know what this game is, but I can't say that it gets me excited.
Wreckfest is actually pretty good. It's like a racer that has like a very detailed damage modeling in it. I know a lot of people really enjoy it, so I'm keen to give it a shot now that it's, I guess, free. So yeah.
It just feels weird putting this out on PS Plus like 2 months after Destruction All-Stars.
Yeah, that game's really fallen off the planet, eh?
Which is kind of, yeah, I mean, look, obviously different games, but very similar in vibe.
I can't tell you the last time I think I uninstalled it. It just never grabbed me.
My goodness. Pretty cool inclusion, Battlefield 5, if you've missed on the game. But for context, Wreckfest is the, you know, PS5 game. And then the PS4 games, Battlefield 5 and Stranded Deep, which I can't say I've heard of.
No, I've also never heard of that, but I'm always...
Or maybe I have. This might be one of those survival games where you're literally on a raft.
That sounds pretty cool. I could get with that.
I could be wrong. Or maybe just a story game.
Battlefield 5 is like... I mean, if you were big into Battlefield, you would have played it already because like the multiplayer evolves over time. And I don't think the single player of Battlefield 5 is good. So, yeah, whatever. It is a thing. Like, download it, play the single player stories. If you dig them, you dig them. If you don't, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Sorry for you. Yeah. What is next?
Just quickly, it seems like Outer Wilds, not the Obsidian game, the DLC, the indie game. That I really, really, really loved from 2019.
Mm-hmm. I still need to play this.
Oh, so good. So, so good. Seems like it might be getting DLC. The Steam database got a new entry, which has a like new game or a new package for it. What's it called? I think you have it on the article there. It's called like Outer Wild : something. And then on top of it, like Annapurna, the publishers, and Mobius Digital Games, who are the developers. They replied with like eye emojis. So seems like it's a real thing.
Echoes of the eye.
What's it called? Echoes?
Of the eye, I think.
Okay. I'm curious because like Outer Wilds is a fairly self-contained thing. Like when it's done, it's done. There's no real threads. What's the
expansion?
Yeah, here? Curious how they put something in there. Maybe they just add something to the universe that can now be explored on the loops that you play. So...
yeah, don't know.
It's cool. It's very cool. Another weird game, which is like a time loop sort of thing. Not a roguelike, though. It's more like a, almost like a exploration game through multiple loops. Very interesting structure. Really great game.
My goodness.
Really good
game. I think worth pointing out as well, Activision, Bandai Namco, and Sega have appeared on the E3 2021 company list. And this... I don't know if we covered it last week, but there were others confirmed last week as well, the week before. Mm. It's basically everyone's there, which...
Activision is the surprise, though, because they've been skipping out for years now.
But this really baffles me, because just the conversations that you and I have had of, like, in this day and age, it's very easy to just steal headlines by having your own
event
online thing. And it's not like... I don't know, Activision, Bandai Namco, and Sega are all people that have, I believe, the resources to literally just host a live stream with a Nintendo Direct style, like, here's a whole lot of trailers, you know? I don't know. It's
the weird thing to me is that there's reports that the Call of Duty for this year will only be revealed later in the year, sort of like how Cold War was only officially revealed in, like, August, I think, last year. So, like, what does Activision show at E3?
I mean, Activision do other stuff.
Like what?
Warcraft 4. I don't know.
I have no idea what they'd show at this thing. Like, normally E3 is for them to show off like a campaign level from Call of Duty or something like that. So I don't fucking know what they show off there. So that's curious. Actually, this happened yesterday, but Konami were initially confirmed to come to E3 and now they aren't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, look, whatever happens, I'm still grateful that, well, that E3 is this week of just hype.
I'm glad that that's back, yeah.
Yeah, very keen to see what comes out of those few days. You know, it's always nice to just look forward to just release after release, after reveal, after teaser, after whatever.
It's always fun.
And going, especially now going into, like, we're not even a year into the next gen of console. So to see what is planned is very exciting.
Yeah, because like the slate of releases after like June, July dries up pretty quickly. So I'm keen to see what the fall is going to be like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, will Sony, I mean, Sony's not going to be at E3, but I assume they'll do a state of play around that time. Like,
yeah,
is Horizon Forbidden West still coming this year? Like they keep saying it is.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Who knows? Like, we haven't even seen the game in motion, but like maybe they come out and like, hey, who knows? Check this shit out.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think you can maybe expand on this more. Microsoft will slash its own store cuts on PC game sales.
Yeah. So this is a weird one. So basically, they've confirmed now that games that come out on the Microsoft Store, or I assume the Xbox, like, if you buy a game for Windows from the Xbox Store or the Game Pass app, if you don't have Game Pass, I think this applies to there as well. But basically, the cut they take from developers is now in line with Epic. Instead of a 70-30 split, Microsoft is only taking 12%. So 88% goes to the developer. Steam does this as well, but only for really big developers. Like, you have to reach a certain sales threshold to get better return rates, which makes no sense to me. But yeah, so this is them just coming in line with Epic on that. But what is confusing to me is that there are rumors, pretty strong reporting, that Microsoft's store on Windows is going to get a very big revamp later this year with the big Windows update. And as part of that update, it's going to allow developers to list programs, games, apps, whatever, directly from their own content delivery network or CDN. So bypassing Microsoft entirely. So all the profits will go to them. Like, why does this matter then? You know what I mean? Don't know. But yeah, either way, it's cool because like it just means devs that are on, you know, Game Pass or the Microsoft Store. And there are a lot of them. Like, yeah, you know, they have their games on Steam probably and they have their games on Epic as well. But if they have the Microsoft, they are getting a better cut now. So that's cool.
So yeah, cool stuff. Last few pieces of news. There's a rumor that Mortal Kombat developer NetherRealm are working on a Marvel fighting game, which, let's be honest, that would be
awesome. Hyped. Yeah.
I mean, we've got Marvel versus Capcom, right? But how nice would it be to have a Mortal Kombat / Injustice style?
That's the thing.
Game?
I want Marvel characters in a fighting game that's actually good. So, you know, I don't know how the logistics of this would work because NetherRealm is owned by Warner Brothers who own DC. So, like, how does that conversation work?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Imagine a timeline where you get a Marvel vs. DC game.
Maybe that's the game.
Finally, some food.
That would be awesome. Get Batman to fight Iron Man. Jesus. You know, billionaire on billionaire.
I know a lot of people they fall on either side of, like, do they like NetherRealm fighting games or do they like Capcom ones, you know, like Street Fighter? Because they are fundamentally different types of games.
Yeah.
But I, from a casual perspective, I like NetherRealm's games because I can wrap my head around them.
They feel way more accessible.
Way more accessible. And I find, especially lately, the past few Mortal Kombat games have had great story modes.
Yeah. The stories have been an absolute blast to play through.
Yeah. So if we get Injustice 1 and 2 are great DC stories. So if we get the same treatment there for like a Marvel story, fucking A. That'd be great.
Can't be in. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is a rumor. But it is kind of strange that NetherRealm hasn't said what they're working on because they usually work on like a 2-year cycle. But that got broken this year, you know, COVID probably. So, but yeah, curious to see if they announce something during E3. So, yeah.
Yeah. Last two pieces of news. Apex Legends, I think the new season comes with new PvP arena content, which is pretty cool.
It's a 3v3 mode.
3v3, yeah. Which, I haven't played Apex for a long time, but this is, I think, the closest tie-in we have to Titanfall, from what I understand.
Yeah, there's a new character who's a pilot from Titanfall.
Yeah, I think name is Valkyrie. Yep, incoming player Valkyrie. And yeah, it's just cool that this game seems to be going from strength to strength. And, oh, why is my sound on? Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. We're not playing Apex.
Oh, it was a while ago. I don't have the time to commit to competitive shooters where I feel like I'm actually, you know, good enough to garner some enjoyment from it. So
yeah,
it's just that thing.
I'd be keen to try this 3v3 mode though.
Yeah, the 3v3 looks like a lot of fun. And to be honest, if I was going to get back into a shooter, it would definitely be
this is Apex, the one. Yeah,
Apex. I mean, a lot of people are still playing Apex. The fact that it made the dent that it did, because you had Call of Duty, you had PUBG, and it's not easy. You only have to look at Ubisoft's, what was it called? Hyperscape.
Hyperscape, yeah.
Is that to show still you, being played? Yeah, like, it's hard. Like, you can't just throw money at it and expect it to be good. So, yeah, Apex and Warzone seem to be, and, you know, obviously Fortnite, seem to be the trio that are going strong. So, yeah. It's cool. That is cool. Yeah.
I still think Apex is my favorite battle royale.
I think it's got the most fun gameplay.
All of them.
Respawn knows how to make a good shooter.
And then last piece of news. Surprise update for Super Mario Party that you play online.
Like almost 2 years after it launched.
Nice.
The first update it's ever got. So now you can play Mario Party online.
How is this not a thing from launch?
At launch, anyway? I know. It's... And why now? Like, I just don't... Like, I wish I knew the thought process that Nintendo goes through, like, on what gets, you know, updates. Like, I just don't understand.
I don't know. That is all the news. That's it for this week, I guess. Some big things there, but...
Should we bounce to questions? If you want to send us questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on all the social channels at Checkpoint Chat on Twitter, on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram.
All of the places.
All of the places. I think we don't have any questions this week, though.
I think got we let have off. Absolutely nothing. Let me just double check. Nothing.
Got let off the hook. You know, I was nothing. Late for recording this week, so...
It actually kind of works out.
It really fucked our timing, completely. So maybe it works out. Because I'm actually seeing you for lunch. Sneaky little lunch.
Wow. First actual lunch
time. I must make a plan to see you on your birthday, though. Because I keep taunting you with this gift that I've got you.
Oh no, you're such a dick.
Lenska knows what it is. She's hyped.
I know. I'm like, tell me what it is. Like, do you want to know what it is? I'm like, no, don't tell me what it is.
Yes, as I'd be mad if she told you what it was.
No, she wouldn't. But it's one
never
of
tell her a secret again.
She's the sort of person where she would love to know. Like, I got you a big gift for your birthday. Well, tell me what it is. Like, no, it's like it ruined the surprise. Like, I don't care. Tell me. When she knows, like, I enjoy the surprise. I'll be like, tell me what it is. Like, do you want to know? And I'm like, no, don't tell me.
I like the surprise. I like the guessing of the surprise, but I also get so much enjoyment out of teasing the surprise. I do it to Shani a lot, and it's cruel because she hates surprises.
Really?
She's the person that straight up will Google the end of a series before she's got there because. And I'm just like, you're ruining it for yourself. Like, you ruin that build-up. Like, she'll watch MasterChef, which is especially MasterChef Australia, which is like a 4 or 5 month affair. But she'll know the winner of like the first month then. I'm just like, why would you do that to yourself?
I can't. Yeah, I can't do that. So and it's the same with... No, sorry, go for it.
No, so when I taunt her with gifts, she hates it.
Oh, like, no.
Absolutely hates it. So yeah, I get
a lot of enjoyment. It's funny, with my in-laws, they obviously watch a lot of Netflix. And I just cannot watch the same show because they don't do it intentionally.
Yes.
But they are prone to spoilers. Like, has this happened in the show yet? Like,
you're like, motherfucker.
No. Like, yeah, just wait till that happens. Like, well, thanks, I guess.
My parents are kind of like that as well. Although my mom tries her best not to do that. But yeah, I think I do that to them though. I'll be like, oh, have you got there? They're like, no. I'm like, damn it.
Damn it.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's I try to be very mindful of spoilers.
Mm.
Even with Returnal, with you, it was like, I basically told you, I beat the first three bosses and I didn't know there were six biomes. So I was waiting for you to be like, hey, did you make it to the fourth boss? But you just never did. So I was like, yeah, I beat the first two bosses. Oh, doing another run. Cool.
Yeah, all the times that I think I didn't ask because I knew there were six and I didn't want to spoil that for you. So when you said, oh, beat the first three, I'm like, oh, okay, you got halfway.
Halfway,
I did not realize the massive change that the game takes after that third one until fairly recently. I was like, what the fuck, Matthew? What? How did you not tell me this? It was very funny.
Keep it.
I was very confused at that point because I was just like, wait a minute, I know this can't be the end, but then it kept, and I was like, maybe I read wrong, and then shit happened. I was like, okay, I see what it is now.
What a game! I need to go. I need to go find those pieces, finish the game properly,
I still have so many questions about the story. Like,
well, why do you think I'm busy replaying it? Because I'm like, I just want to know what the hell's going on here. Mm-hmm. I have suspicions, but I do not actually know.
I really wish, I mean, I don't know if it is a thing. So if it is a thing and I'm just guessing correctly here, but I hope there's a way to equip that astronaut costume that you keep seeing, because that'd be kind of, it's like this old school chunky astronaut costume. I think it'll just look really funny playing with that.
Yeah, I think you'd be very bulky in it, but whatever.
I just want parasites leaning off.
Oh no.
It would be so funny.
Who knows what's behind that little helmet? Sure. No questions, guys. Sorry to let you down, but it does save us because we are running a bit late on our
side. If you do want to send us questions, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com and checkpointchat on any of the social platforms. You can message us at any time. I bet you now, because this happened, next week.
Oh no, next week gonna be so many.
I'm surprised there isn't a question from Cello because there's actually a Grand Prix this weekend.
Really?
Yes, it's fucking Cello, disappointing us every week.
Fine, give us your predictions regardless. Who's winning? Because I know that's what he'd want to know.
So they're racing in Portugal this week. Portimao in Algarve. It's a hard track. I think Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, Checo Perez, which was, I think, my prediction last time, and then I got like 2 out of 3 right. So
nice. This is the week.
This track is so insane. There's points where you go uphill, but it's such a steep uphill that as you're going up, you cannot see over the hill. So all you see is sky, and as soon as you reach the top of the hill, there's a turn. So you have to slow down.
Holy shit!
It's fucking wild. It's such a cool track. I love it. They put it on the calendar last year purely because of COVID. They only raced in Europe, so they needed new tracks to supplement it. And the drivers loved it so much that they added it to the regular calendar.
Oh, that's cool. How nice.
I didn't even know there was a track in
Algarve. Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. So it's a fantastic little track.
Portugal represents.
It's very, very cold there at the moment. So, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's such weird weather considering they're meant to be in like summer, spring.
Summer, well, spring, yeah. So yeah,
we should go watch a Formula One race in Portugal, Matthew.
One day, hey,
imagine they had a track in Madeira. It could be like the whole island.
They probably could.
A street track through the whole island.
Shit, imagine.
With the finish being a ramp over the airport.
Onto the back of a plane.
Yeah.
You can only finish the race once. And that's it.
That's episode 143 of Checkpoint Chat.
Nice.
If you are, well, if you got this far, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. We love you, even though we don't know who you are.
We still love you.
We still love you.
We're like
unconditional loving parents.
Even though you piss us off sometimes, we still love you.
Yes,
we don't know what you've
done.
But
yeah, just stop being on your smartphone so much. Actually, no, don't, because that's probably where you're listening. So keep on that smartphone.
Please keep on it.
if you're watching on YouTube and you haven't subscribed to the channel, we would seriously appreciate it if you do. If you don't, it's all good, man. We get you. Good. We get your life. It's all good.
I will be more pushy on likes, though, because likes just help with algorithm stuff. So if you did enjoy, I'm not telling you to just like on principle, but if you did enjoy the episode, a like would be great.
No, I'm telling you to like it irrespective. If you hated this, just like us out of hate.
We should. You know the opposite of the downvote button? You do that.
Yeah, just do that. Yeah. Who needs a thumbs down? That's so boring. Just love us. Man. Yeah.
Thumbs up. Yeah.
But thank you so much for listening. As always, we'll be back next week, hopefully, with some impressions of Resident Evil.
Maybe. There's a lot of stuff we could potentially talk about.
I've got to play Pokemon Snap. I'd have code. I just haven't gotten to that. So either we'll be talking about shooting werewolves in the head or
shooting Pokemon with a
Pikachu
camera.
With a camera. Yeah. Nice. Real nice contrasting titles. So, yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
I'm leaving.
Okay, goodbye. Bye.